Welcome back, folks. I'm Jake Ellenbogen. He is Gary Sheffield Jr. This is Yankees Unloaded. And I just wanted to let you guys know, and Gary, that I think I figured out the best MLB trade deadline move to improve the Yankees.
Is it releasing Aaron Boone?
It is firing Aaron Boone. It is firing Aaron Boone. I have heard everything about this, right? There are people that are still like, oh, you can't fire Boone and not Cashman. Oh, you can't fire Boone. He's on the cusp of something. He's been good the last 7 years. Look, we've been so appreciative of Aaron Boone at the beginning of this show.
Patient even.
Patient, yeah. Respectful. I mean, I'm not holding back, Gary. So, like, I mean, I said it on Twitter. So I forget, you know, what it was. And I was just like, yeah, we're going to be like prime Mike Tyson just throwing haymakers.
I think we're valid to criticize him because
we are.
The last thing you want to do is listen to somebody who always complains, right?
Yes.
We are not that channel.
No.
We are a channel that has said anytime we see Aaron Boone do something well, we're going to talk about it because it's our job to be objective. And when you do something well, that's part of the solution. But Jake, when you're part of the problem consistently, and I watch consistent problems.
Look at the crawl right now. Yankees have lost 22 of their last 32 games.
Which is a trend. This is a trend for Yankees baseball.
ESPN baseball, which, good God, I need to mute anytime Eduardo Perez is on there. Good Lord. But anyway, ESPN baseball continues to bring up, well, the Yankees are still, despite everything, they're the fifth best record in baseball. They're one of the best records in the AL East. Their run differential is number two.
Oh, run differential.
I do not care. I don't care. All that tells me is that they've squandered away an opportunity the last 2 months to be so far ahead of every other team, right? So far ahead to be the team that we thought they were going to be. We kept saying, this is different. It feels different. You made us look like an absolute joke, okay? And it's not just Gary and I. It's a lot of people. A lot of people that bought into this is different. No, you know what's different? Very simple. Juan Soto being in the lineup is different. It's not a tough nut to crack. When you add two of the best hitters in baseball and you put them next to each other, yeah, the lineup's just going to magically be a little different, I would say.
And by the way, this is a rental. That's the reason that Juan Soto ever walked through the door. Because if Juan Soto, Jake, bear with me here. If Juan Soto still had 3 years left on his contract and he was playing in San Diego, mind you, if the Padres even then decided, you know, we're not going for it. I know this wouldn't happen, but we're going to put him on the market. Jake, do you really think the New York Yankees would have went after him? I don't.
No.
Because in my estimation, Jake, if that was the situation, the Yankees would have had to part with their top prospects. The Yankees never do this.
Nope. Okay?
The Yankees acquired Juan Soto because situationally, he was in a contract year and the Padres knew. We gave Bogarts a deal. We gave Tatis Jr. a deal. We gave all these dudes in our rotation a deal. We cannot afford to bring this player back. It's what happened.
How the actual hell do you choose Tatis over Soto? I don't understand it. I really don't.
Well, you choose both. That's the real problem is that you don't, when teams run out of money, especially teams that are aggressive financially, they run out of money, right? In a sport with no salary cap.
Yeah.
They do this by paying players that are marginal talents. The New York Yankees, if you look at our team and you would tell people who are not Yankees fans, how much money is this team spending? Because you look at our roster, if you look at our lineup is putrid overall, okay? Now, would you look at this team and think, man, this is a $300 million roster? Of course not. Long story short, you absolutely wouldn't do that. How do you accumulate a salary like that? How's that possible that your cap situation looks like this? Well, paying players that are not key contributors, big money. Don't you know paying DJ LeMahieu and Anthony Rizzo a combined $40 million this year? Don't you know that that makes the situation look a lot different financially? Don't you know that? Of course it does. That's why, Jake, there's so much on the line when you put someone in the situation of being the general manager for the New York Yankees, it takes patience. Sometimes it takes aggressiveness. Sometimes, Jake, you have to say, I don't want to win a trade. I need that player. The Yankees don't do that. Okay. They never do it.
No.
The Yankees have never, not even one time ever. You cannot name one person.
George passed.
Yes. You have not named one player ever that the Yankees have traded a player, any player, and you said, I don't want to lose that guy. I do not want to lose him at all. He's one of our top guys, but we needed that guy. And we went and got him. And this roster tells the story. It also, Jake, tells the story of a lack of development. Look how many players are up and down our lineup that we called can't miss prospects. They get in our lineup and do nothing. Absolutely nothing. We have our top prospect who people are still telling me we need to be really patient. This is a win now organization. And we're talking about year two of Volpe is not going to be, this is not going to be a star. Okay. This is not a star. Potentially year three and four is when we're going to be supposedly getting this version of Anthony Volpe that puts it together. Okay.
Yeah.
But what else is on the roster? Alex Verdugo, JD Davis, DJ LeMahieu, Jamai Jones, Oswaldo Cabrera. That's your $300 million roster with awful. A couple injuries that the GM told me we expect him to get hurt. Long story short, Brian Cashman essentially called out Giancarlo and said, he just gets hurt every year. You didn't go acquire depth to accommodate for that?
So now,
how's that possible, Jake?
So now, now let me cut into this because you're gonna kill my my argument for Boone. You're setting the table like, hey, it's not Boone's fault. This
is both of their faults.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I just obviously I know you think that, but I was waiting for probably somebody in the comment section who Speedy Gonzalez already is like, oh well, you know, this is, you know, I don't know why you want Boone fired. Gary, you know, explained everything. No, actually, two wrongs don't make a right. Okay. So you can't just sit there and be like, this is all Cashman's fault and just be like, yeah, it's totally fine. Boone hasn't accomplished literally anything because he hasn't even gotten to a World Series in his tenure with the Yankees while having a $300 million payroll being utilized. Of course, not being utilized the way it should be, but still, this is better than most rosters you're going to find around the league. Still, even still. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about this year. I mean, every single all seven, eight, however many years Boone has been on here. And this is what I'm going to say. Because I initially defended him. And I said, you know what? I want him to do well. I think he's overhated. No, I've gotten to the point where it's not even so much about the result as it is, I just don't think he is the right leader. Okay. I don't think he's the right leader of men that they need. The lackadaisical approach that he has in interviews, talking about players, the way players are utilized.
Can I pull the quote for you?
Not yet.
To back your exact point.
Almost.
Because Jake, I love, what's that?
Almost. Almost.
Go ahead.
Almost there. Yes.
Yep, so, go ahead.
So
let me know.
I'm going to actually bring up Aaron Judge today. Did you see him miss that Jeff McNeil line drive? That had a 95% chance to be caught.
Yeah.
I love Aaron Judge. He's the best damn hitter in baseball. Aaron Judge has gotten to the point as well, the captain, where he has plays like that. He never had plays like that. This is a team that is absolutely tearing at the seams. And the reason being is because it is let's just call it like it is. This is not an accountable team. And you know how you know that? Because DJ LeMahieu is in the lineup hitting 179 with a 275 on base percentage and a 224 slugging percentage. JD Davis, who got, I don't know, hurt on the bench or whatever. Who knows? He was on IL.
I don't think anybody vouches for JD Davis, to be honest.
JD Davis comes in, and Boone this morning or whatever, you know, in the whatever presser, they're like, hey, why is Ben Rice not in? And he's like, you know, well, JD Davis was originally acquired to be that guy. So, like, what does that tell you? If Ben Rice was hitting 312, would he have still made that decision? Maybe. And now you've gone to the point where you've gone full circle. The first leadoff hitter of the 2024 New York Yankees was Gleyber Torres. And guess who led off today? Gleyber Torres. With a home run, I might add. Now, that home run meant nothing because the home run got them a 1-0 lead. They had their ace on the hill. It was the second inning. Their ace didn't give up another run. Then the third inning comes along. He gives up a run. The Yankees fight back. They score another run. Oh, it's 2-1. Then the fourth inning happens, and the Yankees just shut down. They just cry in a corner. They fold themselves up like a lawn chair because they were done for the day. Now I'll let you throw in that quote, but I'm going to say this last thing here. Aaron Boone gets more, in my opinion, gets more defense from this organization than Joe, in my opinion, Joe Girardi got, despite the fact he actually won the damn thing. Aaron Boone hasn't accomplished anything. Okay, we can sit here and now, you know, we can, you know, give him credit for getting to an ALCS. Then what kind of organization have we become then? If you're going to sit there and be like, well, he's gone to the ALCS. That used to be considered a losing season. And to me, despite, you know, how well they started, and even as bad as they are right now, an ALCS is a losing season, in my opinion.
Yep, it absolutely is.
So,
it's a joke.
You know, whether they want to admit it or not, the fans have never gotten to the point, even though it's been 15 years or it's going to be 15 years since the last time they won the World Series, which is disgusting. The fans are not at that point where they're willing to accept an ALCS. The Yankees are never going to get there. The fans will never get to that point. The organization, they probably are already there. It's probably why Boone's still around. But yeah, let's hear the quote.
The quote is despicable because this is pertaining to JD Davis. And this is a player, by the way, who has no business. Okay, now you can say that JD Davis is a good enough player to be on the Yankees. Obviously not this version of what we're seeing, but we're talking about a player that plays once every blue moon. Okay, that should be the situation. If you go to Yankee Stadium, okay, you go with your family, more than likely, you should never see JD Davis ever on the field. Okay? Now, mind you, this is the quote, because everyone was asking, why in the world am I seeing JD Davis? Okay? Ben Rice obviously is 3 for his last 40-some. He's hitting under 200 now. Okay? So the organization essentially is saying, we're out of options. And we organizationally don't have the depth to bring somebody else in because Brian Cashman didn't do his job. Now, here's the funny quote, okay, from Aaron Boone. And to your point about leadership, this is a joke. He says, this is a guy who's recently had a good amount of success. End quote. That's the quote as to why JD Davis is playing. Hey, Jake, can you refresh my memory? What is JD Davis hitting for the New York Yankees? He's hitting 105.
That's after today he had like a hit.
Yes.
So it was worse. It was way worse.
Yeah, it was like 060. Okay. Now, mind you, he's had recent success. It's 2024. Recent success means you've been successful earlier this year. It's later in the year now.
Okay? So is it a successful event to get DFA'd by the Athletics?
That's what I've been told by Aaron Boone. That's what he specifically told me. Okay, and Aaron Boone played Major League Baseball. We are just jamokes, okay, talking about the Yankees. We don't know any better. But a big leaguer?
That's what frustrates me.
That the one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball, who's essentially pitched their way, Brent Rooker, they've got a couple bright spots. None of those bright spots were JD Davis, okay? He's DFA'd by that team that everyone laughs at. They're laughing stock. They're going to go to Sacramento, then to Vegas. That team DFA'd this player, and he's got a role on the New York Yankees. Are you smoking something fierce? There really should be Jack Daniels in this Red Cup. That is exactly what we're looking at. So when I say this, Jake, my whole point here is that this team organizationally has no depth at all. We're just waiting around for guys to get healthy. It's what's happening, okay? We have enough talent on the mound, okay? Combined with Matt Blake, we're just going to pitch our way to 90 wins. We're going to get to the playoffs, hopefully. We're going to play Baltimore or whoever. And any postseason series, teams, by the time we get to the playoffs, they say, well, we're here, so we might as well win. You go out there, you're going to narrowly lose, just like always, okay? And yeah, we're just going to rinse and repeat next year. That is not a winning formula at all, okay? The Yankees, sure, are fine when they're healthy. You're really going to wait on this roster to get... You're going to wait on Giancarlo to return to your lineup so you can tell me that this lineup is comparable? You just told me you don't expect him to be here. And then we don't have anybody hustling, by the way. No one's running out ground balls. We've got Verdugo. We've got Torres. We've got all DJ LeMahieu.
And that's
veteran
on him.
Players walking.
That's on him. That's not on Cashman. I don't want to hear it. I do not
absolutely.
Hear
this
it.
Is on your leader. And exactly. Our leaders, by the way, we've got two leaders, I've been told. Okay. Again, I'm not giving you guys an opinion. Jake, I haven't delivered an opinion yet.
Yeah.
I am telling you, you told me you have two leaders. Aaron Boone, he should be a leader. He's your manager, right? But you also named Aaron Judge captain of the New York Yankees. Why is it possible that I'm looking at poor effort? It shouldn't be possible, okay? And if you were playing on the Yankees when George Steinbrenner was owning this team, you wouldn't be a Yankee if you cannot run. You also wouldn't be a Yankee if you weren't a good enough player to play for the Yankees. That's where you draw the line. Is that guy a player that people pay to see? If the answer is no, the Yankees aren't calling your name. They're not calling your number. And that's something we've gotten so comfortable doing. So, Jake, my whole point here, we really need to just break this down. Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman have overstayed their welcome. We have seen not just short-term mistakes by both people. We've seen long-term issues. The Yankees consistently, Jake, start off the first part of the year excellent. They play out their mind. You get to the middle of the year, you get to the Summer Classic, right? We go to the All-Star game, everyone's feeling good, Judge hits a homer. We get after the break, the Yankees never can win a game, ever. It's either based on injuries, lack of effort, or lack of execution and leadership. It's the same thing every single year. You're watching the same dudes do it over and over and over again, just beating ground balls, not hustling. What are we talking about here, Jake? This is a situation where the Yankees just have to say, hey, he's been here since 1998. Perhaps he's not the right guy for the job. The Boston Red Sox have won four World Series championships since then, and we think this is acceptable? It's not acceptable. You know, and people want me, who I'm a Yankees podcaster, Jake, you're a Yankees podcaster, they want us to hop on here, and they think that we're like the enemy of the state, because they don't believe in what we're selling. That has nothing to do with me. This is a you problem. This is a Yankees problem. This is not us. We just sit back. I don't play for the Yankees. I'm not dropping down a bunt. I'm not running down the first base line. I cover this garbage. Okay? So if you want me to talk about something positive, and I watch Aaron Boone talk about it all the time. He's like, oh yeah, people are freaking out and giving up. We're turning a corner. We're turning this corner, left corner, right corner. It's all these different ridiculous sayings. It's in front of us. How many more cliches and just like writings on the wall do I need to see? I don't need to see any more posters. Just tell me, hey, that's embarrassing as an organization for the New York Yankees. I saw Verdugo jogging down the line. I saw Torres jogging down the line. You know what? He's not playing tomorrow. It's unacceptable. I cannot have it here in New York. It's unacceptable. I know the fans care. It's a joke. That's what you say. But instead, we've got Aaron Judge and we've got Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman just saying, well, we're just going to put one foot in front of the other and we got to get healthy. Dominguez will be back and Stanton, we're excited for his return. How many times, Jake, can I watch that? You've been saying the same stuff since 2018. It's done. Go get somebody else who's more accountable. I know the Yankees can do that. It can't get worse. It can't get less accountable. I've watched enough of it, Jake.
Yeah, it's funny. You put one foot in front of the other. It's just reminded me of Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the claymation special. I mean, it might as well be at this point because it's just a comedy. That's what I told you. Well, you know, before we went on air, and then we talked for like an hour before recording this about like football and whatnot. But look, I'm going to tell you right now, okay? I am pretty patient. I mean, you see that Rams jersey in the back. I watched horrible, horrible, horrible Rams football, right? Like,
yep.
They called them the same old sorry-ass Rams, the so-sar, okay? Watch that team. They only play 16 games. They would win maybe two games. I'd watch every game, right?
It's a tough season.
It is. The Yankees, they don't have that. That does not exist in their DNA. And a big reason is because they don't have to abide by any sort of salary cap.
Nope.
So,
thankfully.
Good Lord.
Could you imagine this? Okay, I'll let you finish here.
Yeah.
Imagine if the New York Yankees and Brian Cashman had to follow an NFL system where they weren't allowed to spend more than a certain amount of money. Imagine if his budget was $150 million. Still a lot of money, by the way. Cut it in half. What would this Yankees team, they would have, Jake, you'd be the backup catcher. Actually, I'd be in center field.
Or it might look better. Maybe it would force him to actually make better decisions.
Oh,
maybe.
Not a chance in the world. Probably we not. Can't develop anybody. But we haven't developed a soul.
Yeah, I mean, I think really like the whole reason I make the point, everything, and I'd be the same thing about Kansas Jayhawk football, because people are like, the hell, you're Kansas football fan? Yeah, I am. And now they're going to be good and people are going to call me a bandwagon.
Jake's a bandwagon, everybody. No, I'm kidding.
I watched one year where they only play like 11 or 12 games. They did not win one game. Not one. I watched every single game that year. Zero wins. And you know what I would do after every game? I'd say, you know what? I saw some good things today. That Jalen Daniels kid's going to be good. They didn't. They won one game with Jalen Daniels. He burned his red shirt so they could beat Texas at the end of the year.
So aren't you glad now you're a Yankees fan where the baseline is winning 88 games a year and up to 97 wins, but having an unbelievably no opportunity at all to not win a World Series? Isn't that crazy that you're part of an organization like that?
I know. I'm actually but the point I'm making is that I'm very patient, like very patient. And so obviously the taste of success with Kansas and the taste of success with the Rams has maybe a little bit less patient than I used to be, but I come from humble beginnings, right? And so I'm not a huge fan of calling for people's jobs. I don't like it, but I just really don't see any other way. I mean, at this point in time, you can't sit here and tell me, well, this is the first team to 50 wins and they were on pace to be the best team ever or whatever. You can't fire Boone. I can, because Boone in the last 32 games has lost 22 of them. Okay. Say what you will about Brian Cashman. Cashman brought up your beat V-Boss right during that series against Baltimore. Did not play him once. That's on Boone. That's not Cashman. Also, not defending Cashman at all. I think they need to be viewed as separate entities. Cashman, he still has his Super Bowl is coming up. It is the trade deadline. He needs to get something done.
Oh, please. Boone, Brian Cashman's not going to do jack.
I know. He'll probably
he's not doing nothing. I hear you well. He's going to go get a player that is a marginal impact player, and you're going to think, wow, this is a huge upgrade, because in comparison to what they're replacing, a literal garbage can, and they're going to look really good for about 10 days.
No, that's true.
We're going to cover it, and then 3 weeks later, we're going to be watching said player go from a 250 career hitter to hitting 205 for the New York Yankees. You know why? Because the player that they're going to acquire isn't going to be great. That's
I think they'll end up with a decent haul.
Who now, do you think would you say?
I mean, I told you. I think they're going to get Rosario.
Yes.
I think they'll get Rosario, and I think they'll get Chisholm. I think that whole thing with Chisholm, I don't buy it. I know you don't buy it. I think it's just a tactic.
Which is the report, by the way. For those of you who don't know, people were saying that the Yankees were worried that Jazz Chisholm was a problem in the locker room, which is been written. We've seen John Heyman write before about this. And
I think it's low-hanging fruit. It's already been out there.
It's nonsense.
Yeah. So
it's nonsense.
I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't mind Jazz Chisholm's opposite field hitting today. Very situational. Scored 3 runs. Double. Anyway, my point. Okay. I think that they're going to get Chisholm and Scott. Okay. And I think they're going to get Clevinger, the reliever, and Rosario from Tampa. I really think they're going to do, you know, something. I also think they're going to try to get Crochet. I think Crochet ends up with the Dodgers. Dodgers have more to offer.
Because I was going
to
say, okay, Dodgers, Baltimore, they're going to be involved.
Yeah. I think Baltimore's going to try and snag Skubal. And I think the Tigers are one of those half-ass teams where they're like, they're not actually going to trade Skubal. They never were, but they wanted to, hey, we want to participate in the trade deadline too. They're not trading him. So I can also see, I think it's going to be Clevinger and Robert to the Dodgers. I think the Yankees will make a push for Crochet, not Clevinger.
Make a push. How many times can I watch the Yankees make a push and kick the tires? I called this guy.
I think what it'll come down to is I think they'll be willing to part with Spencer Jones, but I don't think they'll be willing to trade Jason Dominguez. And to me, at that point, I would agree with them. I don't think Crochet is worth both of them. Jason Dominguez was just rated the seventh best prospect according to
Baseball America. And where was Spencer Jones ranked again? Because you told me earlier.
81st.
So you're the 81st. This is not a top prospect.
Spencer Jones with like in a package should be enough to get Crochet. If you're asking for Crochet and Robert, that goes up in value. I don't think the Yankees have any reason to go after Robert personally. I don't see the fit. I mean, I guess he's a good bat, but like, I don't know. You're going to have to pay him. I don't really see that. So to me,
it's a marginal impact in comparison to what Dominguez is going to do. Now, if you trade a Jason Dominguez, you better be acquiring an all-time great player ready now.
Yes.
Okay.
Which like Crochet, I told you before, to me is a all-star, a little bit better than an all-star. He's not Mason Miller, Mason Miller, when it's all said and done, will be the closest thing to Mariano Rivera. And what I mean by that is that Trevor Hoffman, I know he has the saves record or whatever. Trevor Hoffman was not anywhere near Rivera. He was not.
Right.
Let's just be honest. He was not. Eric Gagne at his best was not. Frankie Rodriguez at his best was not. No. I think the best relief pitcher outside of Mariano Rivera, what's all said and done, is going to be Mason Miller, as long as he stays healthy. Now, health is a concern, but still, with what he's done this year, his body of work, and it's not even just the production, which speaks for itself, but also you have to think about Mason Miller, what he puts on tape. Like, I mean, he's unhittable.
Acquiring a generational talent. In my estimation, Mason Miller is the modern day Lee Smith. Lee Smith is a complete wipeout show. He's going to completely dominate the end of the game. There is no debate as to, okay, this guy's going to come into the game. The other team doesn't feel like there's an opportunity. Clay Holmes comes into the game, there's an opportunity. He's giving up contact as essentially a guarantee. He's trying to give up contact as a sinker baller. Okay. The team also knows the Yankees can't throw from behind the plate. Trevino started more than half the games this year, okay? Clay Holmes, slow to the plate. If we can get on first base, we're going to score, guys. That's the way teams look at the New York Yankees. They're not missing bats at the back end of their bullpen. No. Mason Miller would solve that problem in a hurry, okay? But I will say, Jake, if the Yankees are going to be trading a Jason Dominguez, if that ever was possible, you are acquiring Mason Miller and Brent Rooker. That is the only way that I would ever deal him. Unless, of course, somebody else that we never saw that was ever available. And they're an all-time great player that can help the Yankees right now. And they're controllable. Because those are things that Jason Dominguez will accomplish. Now, do I expect the Yankees to trade Dominguez? I don't. I don't think that'll happen because, in general, I don't think, frankly, the Yankees will have even close to the best package. Because they're going to try and send Spencer Jones, who's the 82nd ranked prospect in baseball. And
if they sent Jason Dominguez, I think they'd land Mason Miller, and I think they'd land Rooker.
I completely agree with you, but do you really think the Yankees would pull the trigger on that? Absolutely. No way that happens.
I think those reports, you should just take that as Spencer Jones is wide available now. Like I would consider him gone at this point. They're not about to do Volpe. They're not about to do Peraza. You know what I mean? They're getting whoever they want if that's enough. Now, if they have to include Jason Dominguez, no. And to be fair, I'm not trading Jason Dominguez knowing, because things changed. We haven't really talked about it on the show, but Jason Dominguez is getting very close to returning. I mean, very close. We were not expecting that because all we heard was it'll be a month, it'll be 2 months. So he's nowhere near. And this, of course, is that Boone coach speak that we love so much. I mean, how did he go from 2 weeks ago sounding like it's going to take 2 months for him to get back to now? It's he's going to be.
I'll tell you. Well, they lied.
Well, we know. But it makes you wonder why. One thing I'll say, and I'm not saying, because remember, I'm the same person on this show that said you're as good as your closer. Right?
Right.
I will say this. Mason Miller is a former starter.
Okay.
And he only got 6 starts the previous year. Now, Matt Blake is the best pitching coach in baseball. I think we all can agree on that. Or at least if he's not the best, he's number 2.
I would say he's the best.
I would say he's the best as well.
Yeah.
So think about how good Mason Miller is. The A's don't have the best pitching coach. They don't have the best coaching development. Nope. They're actually kind of a dumpster fire. But
this is the one thing the Yankees do well. Like one of the only things we do well.
So now exceptional. You take a 26-year-old who only threw 33 innings in his true rookie year. So he's actually in his rookie year now, if we're being honest. Because I don't think 33 innings counts as a rookie year. So in his rookie year, he goes to the All-Star game. He has a 2.21 ERA. He's struck out 70 and 40 and two-thirds innings.
He strikes out everybody he sees, including all-time great players. It doesn't matter if Shohei Ohtani's up there. It doesn't matter if Aaron Judge is up there. We watched him blow Juan Soto, Volpe, and Judge away. In order.
Gone.
Like they were mannequins in the batter's box. They weren't even... They weren't even competitive.
Thanos snapped them out of existence.
He made us look like a buffoon. But I will say this, Jake, and this is something that really does need to be said.
Mm-hmm.
I personally know that the Yankees cannot make this trade, even if it was on their table, because the roster overall is putrid. So the problem with our team is the lineup. The reason the Yankees haven't won a World Series in 15 years is because they can't hit consistently when the pitching gets great, right? The pitching is great.
Yeah. And if the pitching's bad, that's when the hitting's good.
So. Yeah. So they can't, they frankly, even when the hitting was good in New York, it wasn't good in October. Like normally, the last time we saw it be okay, we saw Gleyber Torres and Giancarlo Stanton put on a show in the postseason. Okay, and then we ran Devi Garcia out there in a start, the biggest start of the year. We ran out of pitching. That's the first time you've ever seen that for the Yankees. Every other season you watch, we've got a lot of pitching. We've got this deep bullpen, Robertson and Chapman and Britton, right? You've got Betances. The list goes on of dudes handed hundreds of millions of dollars in our bullpen, and we couldn't score. It's going to be the same story this year. We've got a decent staff. We've got the best pitching coach. If you went and even got a Mason Miller, Jake, you'd go out there. We would close the games we're winning. He'd be completely lights out. This Yankees team can't score in October and win 3 or 4 series to go win a World Series. That's never going to happen. This lineup facing Zach Wheeler in a World Series game, they would look like it would be a clown show. Realistically, Jake, this team needs 4 or 5 moves. They need to completely wipe the 5 through 9 out of this roster and put much more comparable bats in there.
If you think about it, though,
that's what it is.
They can do that. And that's why I say, I mean, think about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Soto, Judge, right? Yep. Then you add Rosario. Then you add Chisholm, Volpe, Stanton, Dominguez. Mm-hmm. That's 7 already, right?
Yes.
So I think they have a pathway. And Brian Cashman, I mean, I still think they need to fire Boone. They need to do something. I'm not saying
he's not a solution.
Would be great. Well, and you know, actually, my biggest issue with Boone, that isn't necessarily Boone's fault, is that think about this. At some point, because I was looking at the Mets today in this game, and we're not going to really even get to this game, guys. Just going to be honest with you, it's 12-3. It was brutal. We're talking about the Yankees. We're talking about the Yankees as a whole. Garrett Cole can't pitch against the Mets for whatever reason either. His stats
or Boston
are awful. Or Boston, which doesn't bode well. But look, okay, I'm watching Carlos Mendoza on the other side. I don't think Mendoza is a great manager, but I think he's solid.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, he was with the Yankees. Could you imagine this team if Matt Blake got poached? Because I'll tell you right now, Matt Blake doesn't want to be a pitching coach for the rest of his life. And
it's not going to pay as well.
If you keep Aaron Boone, if you let that guy go and you keep Aaron Boone and you don't promote Blake to be your manager and you lose Matt Blake, this automatic, oh, he can fix it, he can fix it, is gone. And you think about where they are now. Matt Blake is a big reason why they have 60 wins and maybe not 50.
You don't think 45. That the Yankees missed Larry Rothschild? Remember that? Where he was good early on,
and then it just, yeah, he fell off a cliff.
The Sonny Gray experience, remember, Jake?
He told him not to throw as hard. He did the same thing with Jabba Chamberlain.
Yeah, don't throw as hard. We don't want you throwing the four-seam fastball. And Sonny Gray said, I really want to throw that pitch. We had a pitching coach that didn't let him throw a pitch that he wanted to throw. And long and behold, we get rid of him. He goes to Cincinnati, throws the pitch, and is a Cy Young candidate. So, long story short,
good Lord,
if we gave up prospects for him too. Yeah, if we had to replace Matt Blake, the Yankees would look a lot worse than what you're seeing today. We wouldn't have 60 wins. Okay, this would be a below 500 baseball team. We can spin it, and in large part because of the development that we have with Matt Blake. But what happens without him? So, Jake, I guess like the real issue here is that no one really, like, I know we gave the opinion that Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone should probably be gone. Everyone thinks that. Everybody.
If you don't, I don't know what, like, your expectations are in the freaking dirt.
No, because you know the people who don't think it, because there are people out there, no question, who are saying, well, Boone, we're not going to call for his job. I don't want to do that. And Michael K is one of those people, okay? Michael K is he's a very smart baseball mind. He'll never call for the job of Aaron Boone. Now, mind you, he in itself, he's rooting for it to essentially turn around. I'm rooting for it to turn around.
I would prefer it to turn around.
I would prefer it.
I would prefer they really don't have to fire Boone like Girardi was fired with the Phillies, and they need to bring in Ausmus like he's Robbie Thompson. You know, I would prefer it goes the easy way, the non-painful way, the way somebody doesn't lose their job, right? But, if it has to be done, then it has to be done. Because I'll tell you right now, they haven't done anything. And going back to Mason Miller, by the way, the thing that I thought was really intriguing, because I've heard, why would I give up this guy, and this guy for a closer? Well, first off, you're as good as your closer, right? I've said that. The second thing, I'm not convinced Mason Miller would stay a closer, by the way.
I mean, so you think there's a possibility that Mason Miller physically, because you have to remember, physically, he is the most physical. There is no player. The last time we ever saw stuff like this in a rotation, okay? Yeah. The last time we ever saw stuff like this was Jacob DeGrom, okay? There's never been another starter in baseball history that has consistently thrown 102 miles an hour and out maybe Nolan Ryan. And what's crazy about Nolan Ryan also is the durability. No one can explain it, how that was possible, right? And Mason Miller's a player that durability has been a question mark. He's not a concern, but when a guy has had issues with his health and he's throwing 103 miles an hour, now, am I going to assume he's going to get hurt because he's just massively, he's physical? No, but it is a huge risk, I guess you can say, for the Yankees to move him into the rotation. And based on the team needs, this Yankees team really needs a closer. So putting him at closer, the only way I do this move, Jake, like the only way, you trade Jason Dominguez, you get Rooker, you get Miller. You need to do that move and then two or three other moves. You're talking about still getting Rosario, still getting Chisholm, still getting these players, because it seems like the Yankees have a one or the other decision. We either go get Mason Miller, Rooker, and like go shoot for the stars, right? We don't know if they're going to trade him to us, but try to do that, and then that'll be our one move. No. If Brian Cashman wants to save face here, it is an all-in, holy hell, the Yankees are going after everybody deadline.
They need to outside pull that, a Lakers offseason when they just basically blew up the team. Like, not offseason, like middle of the... I don't know why their trade deadline was like the last... Like there was 30 games left in the season. That didn't exactly coincide with the middle of the year. It was like almost... Not even. It was like 20 games. And Rob
they Palenka, had no games left at all. They just make a bunch of trades.
Rob Palenka was like, this team sucks. And went out and got D'Angelo Russell, traded away Westbrook. I mean, he did all sorts of stuff. And that got the Lakers to the Western Conference Finals, a team that couldn't even get out of the play-in. They literally started in the play-in. So, yeah, that's I mean, it's different, obviously, with baseball. Going back to Mason Miller, by the way, he didn't get eviscerated as a starter. He did not. So I was thinking, okay, like whatever. Seemed like they gave up on him pretty quickly. So he, again, he started 6 games, I believe. Now, he had, so his first start last year, April 19th, pitched 4 1/3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. Second game, 4 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned runs, 6 strikeouts. The next game in May, May 2nd against Seattle, 7 innings, no hits, 4 walks, 6 strikeouts. That's right. He was pitching the no-hitter, and they took him out, and they lost. I actually made fun of him for that last year. It's funny. Mason Miller, you know? The next game against Kansas City, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned runs, 5 strikeouts. And then after that, September, October is the last time he gets used. And he's in the bullpen. And you see 2 innings, 3 strikeouts, 2 innings, 3 strikeouts, 1 inning, 2 strikeouts, 2 innings, 2 strikeouts. Like, so this is what I will say. He doesn't seem to me like he's a Mariano Rivera, where Rivera started as a starter. A lot of people forget that. Mariano Rivera was great against the first time through the order. And then the second time through the order, he was a little shaky. And third time, he fell apart. So they're like, okay, we're not even going to worry about it. They gave him opportunities, though. The A's, shocker, they're not run well. They pulled the plug on this starting experiment after his fourth start. And that was, by the way, the second to last start he had, a no-hitter. So I guess my point here, knowing this, because I've actually been doing research into this, like really thinking about it, is Mason Miller worth it? Because, I mean, that's a great question. Like, just a closer, you want to give up Jason Dominguez and Spencer Jones? I wouldn't trade Jason Dominguez for him. I'll say that. Because I think Jason Dominguez right now is the fourth best hitter in the organization. Maybe
the
third.
Wait, the fourth best?
Maybe the third.
Who's better than him?
Well, Judge, Soto, and you'd probably say Stanton.
Oh, I don't think Giancarlo Stanton's going to be a better offensive player. For the Yankees... given their team needs, I actually think Jason Dominguez will be a better player.
So you think he's three?
Like walking into the building. I think he's the third best hitter. I hit him. Jason Dominguez hits leadoff for me.
Okay. Yeah. So that's my point, though. So you have to look at, I think that's the problem, is that we look at him too much as, I mean, we talk about this all the time. He's not a prospect.
No, he's not.
You're trading away a part of the World Series, bro.
Yes.
That is why I'm against it, because I don't look at him as he's a kid. And the reason my opinion has changed, because remember the last time we talked about this, injuries, I don't know if he's worth it. Well, he's almost back. That changes everything. It's like when 2022, you had, they were, you know, on a run to try to win a World Series, and Glaber's having a good year, and the Marlins are asking for Gleyber Torres for Pablo Lopez. Right. And I'm like, in what way does that make the Yankees better? It doesn't make the Yankees better. That was
they
my
were, like,
issue
trying
with
to
that
trade for value, but it's like the Yankees needed that piece in order to go where they had to go anyway.
Exactly. And so he's a starter who's productive on a team that's trying to win a World Series. You don't trade guys that are part of that. So, I mean,
well,
now
I don't
it's
trade
different.
Jason Dominguez for Miller either, and the Yankees wouldn't.
But
even
I would
consider
trade
that.
Spencer
but if
Jones,
you're getting Rooker as well,
Well, yeah, Rooker, you might not be able... It'd be tough. I think there are ways. I think there is a way to get Mason Miller and Rooker. I think teams are actually going to balk at Mason Miller because of the injury. Okay? I think they're going to try to... Yes.
I think he's going to Philly this year. I think Philadelphia's going to send it all.
Well, no, I think Philly ends up getting him. But I think a lot of teams are going to try to do the whole... Well, he's got the injuries and all that, and expecting Oakland to do what they've done in the past and kind of back down, especially the Yankees, because they end up winning those trades anyway. Because Montas,
well, same with Atlanta. Atlanta's just taking them out back. They take all their talent.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be different, and I think they look at Mason Miller like the only reason A's fans are going to the ballpark are to watch Mason Miller and Brent Rooker, and that's it. So here's the deal. The Yankees are one of the only teams in the league that even have the mindset to take a bullpen guy, not keep him as a bullpen guy forever and stretch him out. Right? We saw that with Michael King. The only other team I could think of, the Giants, they did it with, the Giants. They did it with
Hicks.
I haven't checked in on that. Hopefully, I hope that's going well. I like that kind of story.
It at least was. I don't know if he's still healthy, but I mean, that was the big concern. Is this big power sinker guy going to stay healthy? And so that's going to be the same question with Mason Miller.
And I'm not even
saying... Can he actually stay in the rotation?
Yeah, I'm not even saying I would want him in the rotation. How about this? Make him a two-inning closer. Seriously, why not? Make him... Actually, better yet, have him be a Where's Waldo type of pitcher. You have no idea when you're going to see him. I'm not going to designate him as a closer. I'm not going to designate him as a starter. When he comes in, you are not going to be able to hit the ball. And I'm not going to designate him as a one-inning guy or a two-inning guy. Hell, if he gets up early in the morning and is like, I could pitch four innings today, screw it. I'm throwing him in the fifth inning. You know, that is the potential here. Because the injuries, right, are why he's not starting. Because you want to keep him healthy. But he's, you know, that year, last year, two innings, one inning, two innings, three innings. So
he was used like Michael King in that situation.
I think to me, that only makes the trade more valuable. And you have Rooker playing the level he is. And the thing that makes him valuable is the fact that Rooker has gotten better each year. It's not like a one-year wonder type of guy.
Do you think they can get this deal done without Dominguez?
I do. And you know why? You know why I believe that? Because I think they have something that a lot of other teams don't, and that they actually have an influx of pitching. Okay? So I'm not talking about the pitching prospects. At some point or another, Clark Schmidt's going to come in. At some point or another, what's-his-face is going to come in? Cody, what the hell's his name?
Oh, Poteet.
Poteet, yes. Mm-hmm. So find me another team in the league that has that many guys that you'd be fine with starting in an MLB game tomorrow.
So you would potentially throw those two names in the hat for a trade?
Not even those. Nestor Cortez. I think
think of it this way. The best possible prospect outside of Jason Dominguez would be like Spencer Jones, Nestor Cortez, and like some other prospect. If I'm the Oakland Athletics, I am furious with that return.
No. It would be here. I'll do it right now.
Because that's our second best prospect. Spencer Jones is our number two. He's 82nd on the top 100. You're getting the 82nd prospect for Mason Miller. The Oakland A's should be taken out back if that happens.
Well,
it should be Jason Dominguez or nothing. Like, if I'm Oakland, I would laugh. If they called about Spencer Jones, I'd be like, where's he rated? Oh, 82nd.
So that's Baseball America. Yes. MLB.com has Spencer Jones. I think he's in the 70s. He's 73rd. And Chase Hampton is 81st. So, you know,
I slammed the phone right in their face.
Well, I mean, all right, here's the deal, right? I think they can make this deal without Jason Dominguez.
Okay.
Spencer Jones, they're number one. We're going to call him number one. Jason Dominguez is not a prospect. That's fair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Spencer Jones, number one.
Our number one prospect's rated 82. That's so bad.
Number two is Chase Hampton.
Okay.
Number three is Rodrick Arias. Number four, Everson Pereira. Right? Number six, Will Warren. So you've offered, you know, five of your top six prospects, we'll say.
Can you name which one of those prospects you expected to start for the Yankees? If they stayed in the organization, which ones would have started?
Chase Hampton.
Chase Hampton and who else?
Chase Hampton, Spencer Jones. Pereira, if he gets healthy. And Arias, to me, Arias is well-liked by a lot of teams outside the organization. So he's actually been a piece that they've had that they can use, and they know that. So, and then I'd throw Brando Maia. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys, right?
Right.
And Nestor Cortez. And tell me that doesn't get the deal done. Because I'll tell you right now, you might not be as high on the prospects, because I know you're not.
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not.
But here's the deal. The A's would take that. The A's would absolutely take that. Because the A's,
it would also be the best package they received. Like, nobody else would be more aggressive than that.
Because I think teams are going to turn away at the idea. They're going to hear the, I almost said Larry Walker. Herschel Walker deal.
Okay.
Not Larry Walker. Herschel Walker. And they're going to turn tail and run. And so I think the only team that I really feel like is even, it's kind of similar to Juan Soto. How, you know how like no team was interested in that because they're like, we're not the Yankees. We can't even afford to have him on our payroll and then have any chance of not getting him back. See what I'm saying?
No, I understand.
The rest
I understand
of the league
exactly
was eliminated. I think it's different with Mason Miller. And I also think that Crochet is kind of the big fish. I don't think people think Mason Miller is even available. So I think the Yankees...
I don't know, man. The Padres traded for Juan Soto. They gave up CJ... Was that? Hold on. The Padres gave up prospects. CJ Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, Luke Voit, Robert Hassel, and like Susanna in a trade for Soto. And this was a player that they traded for that they chose to give money to other players and didn't even bring him back. So CJ Abrams was like one of the top prospects in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but they didn't,
in baseball,
they didn't really offer that much. Like Abrams and Gore, and then after that, they were good. So
yeah, but Abrams and Gore come just those two players alone. Okay, just those two players. Mm-hmm. Is Spencer Jones a better prospect than CJ Abrams was?
No,
is Spencer
not.
Jones a better prospect than Mackenzie Gore, or was he in the when the trade went down?
I don't believe so. I think Mackenzie Gore was up there. It was like near the
yeah,
top.
Yeah, and to be fair to you in this conversation,
yeah,
this is Juan Soto, not Mason Miller.
And
Mason Miller's not worth close.
23-year-old Juan Soto.
Yeah, this is 23-year-old Juan Soto, but also kind of fighting back on that, Mason Miller has 5 years of control. You're essentially just receiving
yes.
Mason Miller like he's a prospect of yours.
Okay? But he also has those serious injuries, and Juan Soto never had any injuries. So it was
definitely.
Juan Soto is like the honestly, that trade, I don't even feel like they got enough for Juan Soto, if I'm being honest. Like, I do not think they got enough for Juan Soto. Juan Soto, when traded at 23, was the most valuable player that has been traded since Alex Rodriguez, period. Mm-hmm. When Alex Rodriguez was traded to the Bronx, that is the most valuable available trade guy that we have seen. And yeah. Juan Soto blows him away in comparison. And this is a shortstop that hit 57 home runs. And I'm saying Juan Soto blows him away in comparison because he does. The Yankees traded away an all-star second baseman and Alfonso Soriano for Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah, this is all about timing, 100%.
And now if that A-Rod that, you know, when he was traded, if he was traded now, he would get kind of the same deal as the one that Juan Soto. It's different. Trades have changed. I will say this, though. When it comes to Mason Miller, there are going to be concerns about the injury. There are. And when it comes to Rooker, people are going to be like, is Rooker a one-year wonder, right? So they're not trying to give up top prospects for Rooker, right? But I will say, if you combine them, because I feel like the A's are going to want to combine them. They're going to want to get a giant package instead of just getting, yeah, we'll trade Rooker to another team and we'll trade Mason Miller to another team and get like a combination of prospects. No, they're going to want to empty out a farm system. And
that's
to
why
me,
I think Philadelphia is going to get them, because if you think about it, Philadelphia is run by Dave Dombrowski. Dave Dombrowski doesn't give a rip. Everything that we're saying, because think of it this way, Jake, every single person in our chat, thousands of people are going to watch this show and people are going to say, well, hold on. I don't want to trade Jason Dominguez. I want those players you guys are talking about, but I don't want to lose Jason Dominguez. You think we want to lose Jason Dominguez? Of course we don't. We want to acquire those players without giving up players that we want as well. But at some point, people have to be realistic and remember, these organizations have to want your trade that you offer. And not only this, Jake, you have to beat everybody else's offer. Philadelphia is a team.
They have five guys in the top 100, by the way.
Thank you. They have to not be as aggressive as the Yankees in order for this package to work. People aren't just waiting to send their top guy to the Yankees. Okay. It's the biggest show on earth when we're winning. Okay. Which we don't do much of anymore. But I will say, you think the Padres wanted to trade Juan Soto to the Yankees? They would rather trade him to the Marlins. Of course they would. But it's the way it worked out. It was, the Yankees had the best package on the table.
They were the only ones willing to trade for him.
Yeah, because the Yankees feel like if we have him, we're going to resign him. So it's not a problem. These other organizations were like, I'm not going to give up a prospect, big prospects. And then now I have to give him $600 million. Which organization is doing that? The Dodgers aren't. They just gave Ohtani $700 million.
Well, you know what that would have been? That would have been when the Raptors traded for Kawhi Leonard, won a title, and they're like, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, exactly. How many baseball teams are going to give up
the Pirates?
How many players, how many organizations are going to give up top players and major league ready assets for 1 year of a player when they have no chance to win a title and no chance to resign that guy? Happens never.
So
the Yankees acquired him that way.
Where are you on his value? Let's just for argument's sake, let's just say Mason Miller and Rooker, right? If I give you Jackson Holliday, how much more do I have to give you?
Oh, hardly anything at all.
So Jackson Holliday would get that deal done.
Yeah, because Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect in Major League Baseball. I got Jackson Holliday. You can send me like Jackson Holliday and like maybe a couple filler guys that I can throw in the outfield that you don't love.
So Jackson Holliday.
Yep. And like maybe
Ryan
a
Mountcastle.
Couple other guys. Ryan
and
Mountcastle.
Cedric Mullins gets that deal done.
Oh, yeah, because Jackson Holliday is a future star in this league. He at least has the potential to be a future star in this league.
So do you think they trade Jackson Holliday? Because I actually think that is possible. And if they do, they can literally get anybody they want on the board.
If they're willing. Okay, so just to answer your question, do I think Jackson Holliday will be traded? My answer is no. I think Baltimore is going to think about it and they're going to say, we're going to hear out all the offers. We're going to negotiate. I think they're going to keep Jackson Holliday out of the deal because ultimately Baltimore knows unless the Yankees do something massively aggressive, we're the better team. So we're going to beat them out. We're probably going to get to the ALCS and maybe lose in the championship series, right? So Baltimore is going to see that as a successful year. We don't. Okay. Baltimore should see it as a success because, Jake, they haven't spent any money yet. That's why.
And
so if Baltimore can
go
out there and just go spend.
In my opinion,
why does Baltimore have to do this?
I really think Baltimore needs to be very calm at the deadline, if I'm being honest with you. Trading away Mountcastle and Mullins is fine. It's kind of ballsy, but it's fine. I'd keep Basalo, Mayo, and Holliday, the top 15 prospects. I'd keep them. Now, as far as the Yankees, you know, looking at who is their, I guess, like their competition here, The Orioles would really be the main one because they have three guys in the top 15 and could essentially get anybody on the market. After that, the Red Sox have two guys in the top 14, but they wouldn't be going after a closer. You know, they like Kenley Jansen right now.
They won't be involved at all.
I could see Rooker as a Red Sox. I could. I think he fits, yeah, but I don't necessarily think that they would go for the package deal that I think the A's are trying to get. Then after that, the Phillies, Andrew Painter, the pitching prospect, their top prospect, 19th. Yep. Okay.
And people do not want to trade him at all. Again, kind of goes back to the point I was making. People want to acquire Mason Millers, but they think that these organizations don't want your best guy. And like, I understand, like earlier you were saying, well, the Yankees could possibly get this deal done without Jason Dominguez. I agree that you can make the argument the Yankees can throw a package together good enough to be acceptable. But yeah, the problem is it has to be a package that surpasses every other package. And what if the Yankees have a situation where Dominguez is the only guy that can put you over the top? Then essentially that should be your last move you make. Because if you do go get Mason Miller, you do give up Dominguez, right? You go get Rooker. You only make that move if three or four other moves have already occurred. Okay. That's the only way, because those two players don't make the Yankees a championship team yet. They still need a contact leadoff bat. They still need a second baseman, right? Yeah. So they need a third baseman. So there are multiple ways that the Yankees have to get better before you ever do this holy grail trade. But it's fine.
Yeah, it's really just the Yankees, Phillies, and like looking at it, it's like the Dodgers. I mean,
right.
And well, I'd say a sleeper team, if they wanted to kind of get a jolt. You mentioned them earlier today when we were talking, the Mariners. They have some ammo in the, you know, in the minors.
They need Rooker in the worst way.
The 22nd, 23rd, and the 42nd prospect. I don't see the Dodgers going all out for a closer and Rooker. I think the Crochet Robert fit makes more sense for them. I think it's between the Yankees and Phillies, if I'm being honest, with Seattle being kind of a dark horse. Now, the reason why I think this is actually very possible is because they already went out and they got JD Davis from the A's. They've already had communication with the A's. They've had many trades with the A's. When in doubt, kind of go with what's already there. And I think they have the communication is definitely in place, but I think also just like the experience trading with one another. I think the Yankees are going to have a legitimate shot at getting Rooker and Miller. Now, is Miller available? Because you can say all you want, oh yeah, we're listening to offers, but is he available? That's the question. And I do think there are teams around the league that are aware that Jason Dominguez is part of the equation and isn't a prospect. So there are going to be teams that automatically ask for him, and that's okay. But I think a lot of them are going to go in knowing, okay, yeah, he's probably not available. And
it's a good thing that they're asking.
Yeah, I mean, you got to ask. I have no issue with that. I will say this, okay? I know the Yankees, again, love the Soto trade, right? Yep. The one piece, not Michael King, the one piece I think they may have screwed up on, and it may come back to bite them, is trading Drew Thorpe and not Chase Hampton. Now, mind you, Chase Hampton had surpassed Drew Thorpe, okay? His top prospect, mm-hmm. top pitching prospect. And then he got hurt. And they refused to include him in that deal. They traded Drew Thorpe, who was then traded to the White Sox for Dylan Cease. Drew Thorpe is currently the 37th prospect in baseball. So he would be the Yankees' second prospect behind Jason Dominguez by 12 spots, according to MLB.com.
He'd be far and away more valuable than Spencer Jones, statistically.
And he's pitching right now for the White Sox, 3-1 with a 3.03 ERA, 7 starts, and he is, well, he's not really a strikeout pitcher, but batting average against him, average is 162. So basically everything, all the concerns and everything have translated to the MLB, and the concerns aren't really there. He's pitching well. The White Sox have themselves potentially a future ace. And this is really what it comes down to. It's kind of a scary game. This is a reminder, you know, when you go and you trade away prospects, you have to be well aware that when you have to pick and choose and you can't trade everybody and they can't take everybody, but sometimes they're like, all right, well, we need one of the guys. So you make a decision. It's just a reminder, man. So
I'm okay doing that, frankly. Like Drew Thorpe.
Well, I'm sitting here like, I wish we didn't trade for Soto. I sit here wondering, because we already knew Hampton had the injury. Mm-hmm. I just wonder why they wanted to protect Hampton so much, especially because it just doesn't feel like he's ever going to pitch in New York. Whereas, you know, Thorpe, I actually felt like we were going to see him this year.
I don't know. Sometimes people just make calls. We made calls on Luis Gil and we said, okay, this is the guy. We're going with this guy. We're not going with that guy. They refused
to trade him. That was weird.
They refused it. Right. So the whole thing I'm trying to say here is that it's okay to lose a ton of value on one guy, right? Sometimes you're just going to have a throw in and that throw in might be a key contributor for another organization. That's okay. Yeah. But what really matters is what you're acquiring. If you traded away assets, and we did this in the Joey Gallo trade, we gave up real assets to go get a player that wasn't a good fit for the Yankees. That's my problem here. So if you make a trade, let's just project, it's not going to happen, but let's say the Yankees traded Jason Dominguez, okay? In a huge package, they get Brent Rooker, they go get Mason Miller, okay? Get the most wipeout guy in the league. He's now your closer, okay? You get Clay Holmes out of there. Right? You throw him just in the bullpen, not in the closer's role. Mason Miller's the guy, and he's dominant for the Yankees for the next 4 or 5 seasons, right? I'm not going to look at it in a situation and say, well, what would this team look like if Jason Dominguez was on the team? Well, that's fair to talk about, I guess, but you also wouldn't have Mason Miller as part of your organization. Brent Rooker would not be with your organization. So that's the hard part about making trades, is that you can't be like, well, what if we had this guy? Well, it's like, if you had that guy, the player that you acquired that's supposed to be a key contributor, he wouldn't be through your door in the first place. So the whole thing here, Jake, is that you can't acquire all-time great players and then give up prospects that you think are kind of good, but you don't really want them. You don't really think they're a part of your future. So you're going to send a bunch of those guys, right? A bunch of tear down prospects, and think that this other organization is going to be like, oh my gosh, this is so much value. No, the other organizations likely see Spencer Jones as just like a potentially decent player in this league later on, but he's still a project. He's the 82nd ranked prospect in baseball. So he's not like 81 guys are better than him in the minor leagues, according to baseball. So that's not like these numbers, they don't mean everything. But the fact that they felt comfortable enough putting him 82nd, you think that these writers want to say that the Yankees don't have more than one guy in the top 80? They want to. We're the team that gives them clicks. They want to tell people we have good prospects. They want to, okay? They wanted to say Jesus Montero was going to be the next Posada, okay? They wanted to do that. It's what gets clicks. So what I'm telling you, Jake, I think our minor league system is massively, massively overplayed, overhyped, however you want to describe it. And if the Yankees want can't miss talent, you're going to have to give essentially the guys that you really think are going to make a real impact, give us those guys. And I will say, I think if you had to give me my prediction, because I know we said we wanted to do this, what the Yankees will do, I think the Yankees are going to make that Marlins trade. Chisholm, Scott, they might go get some Rosario or a bat like it, maybe a Jonathan India out of Cincinnati. That's the deadline that I'm expecting to see. And Jake, let's be clear, the Yankees get a lot better if they do that. It's a way for the Yankees to get a lot better, like not even close, way better, without sacrificing any of the future. Most of the guys they give up in these deals, they're not going to be, like it might be Spencer Jones, but Spencer Jones is like a surplus, okay? You've got Dominguez, Soto, and Judge. How many more outfielders do you need?
Right? No, I agree. I mean, I think to me, if I could have any sort of deadline, I would want it balanced, because I do believe in having, you know, farm system. I'm more into the farm system than you are. I know you want to go more for the jugular, go for the trades. I'm not against like that. That's what I'm trying to say, is the whole idea of Rooker and Mason Miller, that is that I'm open to that. And I definitely see the, you know, the value. I mean, I'll say this, I might be underrating the value there. Rooker, like we talked about this in a previous episode. I just looked. He's under 3 more years of control.
Yep.
And then you just wouldn't pay him because he'd be like 33 at that point.
Yeah, that's fine.
He just, yeah, he did his job and you feel good.
Because if the Yankees don't win a World Series in the next, let's just say the next 3 seasons, okay? We're entering in the 2028 season and the Yankees haven't won a World Series. It's a colossal dump anyway. Gerrit Cole is past his prime. Aaron Judge is like entering the back end of his prime. It's a problem. Okay. Juan Soto is your best player by far if he's re-signed. So you need to win in the next 2 years. Okay. 2 to 3 years. You have to win a championship. If you don't do that, well, it's a failure. So whether or not people predict that to happen, you know, everyone has their opinion. That's totally fine. But if the Yankees don't win a championship in those 3 years that you just mentioned about control, well, you know, this has been a dump already. So, oh well.
You are never going to believe what I just found. You were never going to believe it.
You find every number under the sun, so I will believe it.
No, you won't. Top 10 Yankees prospects from 2011.
Was like Ivan Nova on there?
Yeah, he was.
Thank you.
Jesus Montero, number one.
Ivan Nova.
He's currently 34.
Okay.
Just to make everybody feel old. Gary Sanchez.
No, he's not.
Yes. Gary Sanchez, 31 years old. He was number two. The Killer Bees. Remember I said that the other day? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about. No, I do know what I'm talking about. Just wrong era. It wasn't Jabba Chamberlain, Phil Hughes, and Ian Kennedy because that wouldn't make any sense. There's no Bees.
Who was it?
It was Dellin Betances, okay. Manny Benuelos, and Andrew Brackman.
Andrew, I
was low-key cooking, and I didn't even realize it. All right, so get this. Manny Benuelos was number three, okay?
Okay.
Never did anything for the Yankees. Dellin Betances was number four.
Great Yankee.
We loved him, right?
He was a reliever, by the way.
He's in the Dodgers farm system right now. Triple A, 36 years old. Benuelos is 33, out of the league. So is Jesus Montero. Austin Romine, number five, in AAA, 35 years old. Andrew Brackman, number six, in single A advanced, 38 years old.
What?
Ivan Nova, retired.
There you go.
37. I love that they called him up. I actually love Nova. I know he didn't end up being great, but I thought he was
I knew he was there.
Hector Noesi, remember him? Hector Noesi, number eight, 37 years old. Eduardo Nunez, ninth in the farm system.
I remember Eduardo Nunez. He got hurt every play we ever watched him. He was a good player. He was always hurt.
He like always hit for average. He like 292, 280. And always, anytime I did MLB The Show, like franchise, he would always turn into a superstar. No idea why.
Ridiculous.
And Slade Heathcott. Number 10.
No idea who that is.
Currently in the Astros AAA system, 33 years old. The funny thing is, there out of all of this, there are 3 guys currently in the major leagues in 2011. So let's fast forward. We're not going to go through every single one, although I do want to, but we're not going to. Let's go to 2020. All right?
Yep.
Jason Dominguez, number one.
Not that long ago.
He's currently 21 years old. Clark Schmidt. Number two.
Okay.
DV Garcia. He's in AAA right now.
Oh, yeah. You mean the guy who's the next Pedro Martinez because he was 5'9".
I actually really liked Garcia.
I didn't.
I didn't really think they gave him too many opportunities. The guy pitched 8 games and they were done.
They told me he was Pedro. He was throwing 93. So I was like, all right. Well,
he's only 25, by the way, right now. He's in the White Sox farm system. They traded him away for I forgot who they got, but yeah. Oh, they got like nobody. They traded him away for like nothing. Anyway, Oswald Peraza, number four. Luis Gil, number five. Esteban Florial, number six, currently in the Guardians AAA. Alexander Vizcaino, I don't even know who that is, number seven. Yoendris Gomez, number eight. He just pitched tonight.
Yeah.
Anthony Volpe, number 9. This is probably right after he was drafted.
It was.
Luis Medina. He's currently in the big leagues with the A's, and he's not doing all that great. I liked him, though, but yeah. Albert Abreu, remember him?
I do remember him.
Yeah.
Do really hard. He was kind of like Luis Hill, but he had no idea where anything was going.
Yep. He isn't in the league currently. Kevin Alcantara is in double A for the
Shouldn't
Cubs.
This tell everybody who's listening to this show that just because the Yankees tell you that, hey, these are our top 10 guys, doesn't necessarily mean anything. And by the way, not to beat up on the Yankees, this is a league-wide thing. League-wide, okay? The Yankees may be a little worse at developing than a lot of other organizations, in large part because the Yankees don't have to develop, really. They can still always have a high baseline based on spending. But man, Jake, the Yankees, you can look at their roster. Not many of them were a part of these lists that are key contributors today. How many really are there? So why really should I freak out about putting names together and throwing them a part of a big package? That's where I'm at. I totally understand that people say, well, I want to protect the prospects and the kids. I want to protect prospects and kids if I knew they were going to produce on the big league roster. But based on your track record, the Yankees track record tells me I can put this whole list together. You can tell me how great this player is going to be. He's going to be a step below whatever you told me. You might think he's going to be a step below Derek Jeter. Well, he's a step right below that, right? And that they told me Anthony Volpe was this player. Volpe's a good player, okay? He's still a good player. He's going to be a good player in Major League Baseball. I believe that. But is he the player that the Yankees told me they were protecting? Not even close. He hasn't even approached that level. Playing good defense, great defense, and being a 250 hitter with no pop, and I'm supposed to think that this was your top of the line. The Yankees were like, we cannot send you this guy. We won't even consider it. This player I'm watching, that's part of the reason why, Jake. Jason Dominguez, we've put him, he's not a prospect. The Yankees have absolutely developed a player. We have something there. But outside of Jason Dominguez, what are we talking about here?
It's kind of funny because Michael King was the 25th prospect in 2020. It is a reminder that being on the list sometimes is all that really matters, and you don't have to be number one. Because Michael King jumped to 12th after that. To be fair, Anthony Siegler was in the top six, and he didn't.
I remember that pick.
Thairo Estrada, who's starting for the Giants, not hitting very well, but he's the guy who got shot point blank range. And when he was with the Yankees, I don't even know how he ended up on the Giants. I'm glad he's alive. That's cool. And he ended up having a career, but yeah, Chance Adams. Remember him?
I do remember Chance Adams. Yes.
I always liked Chance Adams. He just never ended up being
anything. The Yankees quite easily have the longest list of prospects that never did a damn thing.
Garrett
than
Whitlock.
Any other organization. Who?
Garrett Whitlock. He's currently on the Red Sox. Feels like he pitches every time against the Yankees.
Garrett Whitlock, didn't we trade him? So he's a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know exactly who Garrett Whitlock is. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember what we got. You know what I feel like? I feel like, didn't he get rule fived?
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds.
I think he got rule fived by Boston. That's what I think happened with Garrett Whitlock. I could be wrong. It just what
by the way, thank God for the rule five, because these guys would never see the light of day the way these teams just hold back all these. Hayden Wesneski, 30th overall.
He'd be going to dominate for our Triple A team. That's what the Yankees do. They just put guys down there. They say, look at this guy. He's hitting 290. I go, well, who gives a rip? I don't care. So some nerd can tell me that he's hitting 290. No, use your assets. And by the way, if you don't think this kid, he's hitting 290 in AAA. If you don't think that he's good enough to hit well enough in the big leagues to where that 290 is just not doing it for you, then why is he there?
No,
am I supposed to like get excited about this list that they put together and the Yankees tell me they believe in these guys? But then when it comes push to shove and I'm looking at your 5-9 in the lineup and I'm like, DJ LeMahieu, that's the best third baseman you got? Then the Yankees tell me, if I asked them, Aaron Boone would tell you, oh no, I really believe in this guy. He's performing well. He's doing yeoman's work for us in Double A. Where's he at? Oh, B-Boss, where is he? Oh, he's in Triple A.
Oh, look at this. You'll like this.
I won't.
Kind of.
What is it?
2014. Number 9, Aaron Judge. Number 10, Luis Severino. The number 1 prospect was Gary Sanchez that year. John Ryan Murphy was 4th.
Whoever put that list together should be honestly tarred and feathered.
Mason,
are you
Williams
kidding me?
Was Eric Jagiello was 5th.
Terrible. If you have a bad name, you're not going to be a good baseball player. Greg, tell you that right now.
Greg Bird was 7th. He was ahead of Aaron Judge. Yep. Oh, Luis Torrens. They just traded him away because he was doing well in AAA. So they thought, hey, let's just give him
Jake, I actually have a theory. My theory is these players get higher up on the list if the player that we're talking about reminds them of a past player. That's what I think.
That's interesting.
I think if a player has a certain style of play and it resonates and makes you think of another player who's already proven in the big leagues, those scouts just say, yeah, he reminds me a lot of Bryce Harper. And then they put him up higher on the list. I do. I really do.
That is interesting. You know, I'm seeing a lot of repeat guys that still haven't gotten to the majors or didn't do anything. Doesn't seem like the Yankees have really had anybody. Potentially, that's kind of the interesting thing with Drew Thorpe is that he's one of the only guys. I mean, now Rob Refsnyder is actually hitting well. It only took him until he turned 31, but 33. Jesus.
I mean, we're happy for the guy.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him. He was the 5th prospect in 2015. Greg Bird was 4th. Jorge Mateo was 3rd. Aaron Judge was 2nd. Luis Severino was 1st.
Jorge Mateo would be, he would be starting for our team right now.
Jorge Mateo, they ended up trading away because they didn't want to move Florial.
We're not a serious organization. So, and Jorge Mateo, by the way, I'm not going to freak out. Jorge Mateo is not a great player in this league. He's just not.
No, okay? No. But he's hitting 229, but he'd fit in perfectly.
he would fit in.
67 on base percentage, come right up to be our leadoff hitter. Yeah, the...
he turned a corner for us at leadoff.
2016, Mateo actually surged past Judge and actually became the number 1 prospect in the farm system. Gary Sanchez fell. James Caprilian was he ended up getting traded with Mateo to get Sonny Gray. Jordan Montgomery was 20th that year. After that, I don't really see anybody that I recognize. I mean, Miguel Andujar was 15th. Hoy Park.
Dude, we don't develop or use these prospects. So what value do they really present?
Hoy Park, I think they traded away for Clay Holmes. He still never made it to the majors, so I don't know. And then 2017, Gleyber Torres, number 1. They got him in the...
which we traded.
Aroldis Chapman deal. And then they signed Aroldis Chapman again. That was kind of funny. Yeah, Gleyber Torres was 1. Clint Frazier, they got trading away Andrew Miller.
Mm-hmm. With Cleveland, yep.
He was number 2. Blake Rutherford was a first-round pick who they ended up trading away in that deal to acquire back Tommy Canley, who came up in their farm system from the White Sox. They also got Robertson, former Yankee, and Todd Frazier. And this...
a good trade.
This one had Justice Sheffield. Remember him?
I do. Yeah. No Justice relation. Sheffield, right? He thought he was related to us his whole life. And then
really?
And then he was like 15 or 16. And I remember he like approached my dad and my dad was like, yeah, we're not related. So
let me just bring it to you, son. We're not related.
you were not related in any way. But we knew that. So now they don't like kind of buy into it. By the time they were like 16, 17, they were like, we're not. So all is good.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I feel like that name holds so much weight that like he was put up higher in the farm system because of it.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's a pretty awesome
name. So I don't know, like,
because it was Justice and Jordan. Because Jordan Sheffield went to the Dodgers. I remember he was like a first round pick, went to the Dodgers, and then Justice was with us. I think Jordan was, I think they're both Vandy boys. So, yeah.
Dude, I can't. I saw Estevan Florial get all the way up to a two in 2018, and I'm just thinking, like, because, I mean, there's no reason to suspect that he couldn't have done something if they called him up when he was hitting 300 consistently in AAA. I think they just ruined him. Dylan Tate was a prospect I really liked, and they never gave him a chance. He's been in Baltimore since 2019. He's a decent pitcher. Not amazing, but decent. They tried him as a starter, became a reliever. But
isn't it clear, though, that we don't... So, okay, it's clear. We're not developing stars. You can go on and about a list and this guy and that guy and this guy. They're still all marginal talents that are just big leaguers. They're just guys. Well, they're just bodies.
That's why I thought it was good to bring this all up, because I think it's easy to kind of lose sight. And I mean, end of the day, we just went through the last, I mean, all the way back to 2011. And there wasn't anybody that was a legitimate superstar.
How many superstar position players did you even name?
Aaron Judge is the only superstar that I named. And he's still on the Yankees. It's not like they traded him away.
And not even superstar. Were there any like tier down, like really, really good players in this league?
Severino, I would say.
Severino. But he's not a position player.
Gary Sanchez deserves, I think, some praise. I mean, it didn't last forever, but there was a point where, yeah, Gary Sanchez definitely belongs in that conversation. The Montero trade was kind of terrible. They got Pineda coming off a bad injury. See, the Yankees weren't even good at trading away prospects then.
And they thought they were giving up big prospects. Like, they thought they were like, oh, we're going all in. You're not.
Well, I will say, Jesus Montero was one of the top prospects in baseball. I think he was in the top five, actually.
Yeah, he went to Seattle.
So,
had a decent year, and they were like, he sucks.
That trade was kind of just terrible because they traded him away for Michael Pineda, who was coming off a bad injury. So it was like, they didn't even go out and do the thing that we're talking about. They took one of the best prospects in baseball. They didn't even do it right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it was like when you go to an arcade and they're like, yeah, go turn in your tickets. And you have like 50,000 tickets and you can go buy like a motor scooter. And then you just walk off. The Yankees walked off with like a freaking Airhead they're cool with it.
Bro, all their mission was to get good. And they didn't even do that. So
no, they went and got a bunch of Tootsie Rolls. And that's what the Yankees do.
God.
They're just out there turning in all their tickets and all their trade chips. And they're going to go get a bunch of jabronis.
So to wrap it up, I mean, you would say Gary Sanchez,
yep.
Aaron Judge, Luis Severino. I mean, Andujar deserves some credit because, you know, he almost won the Rookie of the Year, but
he wasn't a good player. He was just
Snyder
okay.
Now, but I mean, he's just, you know, Herman. Mateo,
This is in 15 years, Jake.
No, I know. I'm going through it right now.
This is insane.
2016. Let's see what we got here. Tyler Wade. Jordan Montgomery.
You still have named literally
Gleyber Torres.
Not one great player. And we didn't draft Gleyber Torres. So we literally have drafted one
Green.
Great player that's a position player, which is not
Chad
a surprise.
Green.
It's not a surprise because we literally have two really good players on our team and no other really good players.
So, Tyler Austin. Remember when he hit a home run after Aaron Judge and everyone's like, the baby boppers, and they went crazy, and then Tyler
Austin
ended
up being joke. Kinda,
yeah, after that, I mean, Clark Schmidt, he was a first round pick, so he's
dude, all we have are pitchers.
2019? Wait, Loaisiga was number two? He was a number two prospect.
And we turn him into a reliever. He's a pitcher. That's what I'm telling you, dude. We
Garrett
have
Whitlock.
No idea. It's all pitchers. The Yankees can only do something with a pitcher. Everything else is Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, and a bunch of who the hell is that guy?
Luis Gil.
That's what it is. It's literally pitchers. Thank you, Matt Blake.
Ezekiel Duran, that one year that he had after they traded him for, what's his face? Gallo. Now
I'm
he's
done with it.
Now he's in AAA. Michael King. Again, another pitcher. I heard, I could hear that without you even saying it. Anthony Volpe.
Meh. He's just above average.
Hayden Wesneski. He's solid. Ken Waldichuk. Just because he's in the majors doesn't make him not quite there.
He's in the big leagues. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Austin Wells.
He's right. Still just an average player.
Let's see. Is Randy Vasquez pitching well? No, not really. Yeah, I mean, I just went through everybody. Ron Marinaccio, but I don't even know where he is now. Like, is he in AAA? I haven't seen that guy in forever.
Shouldn't this make people who listen to this podcast understand that
more or less,
if you're talking about a great position player, then more than likely,
Drew Thorpe,
this player will turn into a nothing.
So, really, yeah, Drew Thorpe would be the last one. So, I mean, we didn't name anybody that like ended up coming back to absolutely haunt the Yankees. Drew Thorpe is actually the biggest one, I would say. And it took all those years for that to happen. I mean,
and we don't really need Drew Thorpe right now.
We don't need him. We don't know also. I mean, he could totally fall off a cliff. I mean, we don't know. It's early on in his career. They traded, I mean, last year's 10th prospect, Richard Fitz, for Verdugo, and he's got a 5 ERA in AAA. So, I mean, it's, you know, I don't know. End of the day, I think it's just kind of a reminder that, and I'm glad I was able to find that. I didn't even realize that you could even look up all the years and everything for the prospects. But I think at the end of the day, it's just a reminder that, look, okay, there are going to be guys that feel bigger than they are, okay? There's always going to be that feel, like top prospect. You think about the potential. You've seen guys come through the minors. You remember Bryce Harper. You remember how mm-hmm. big it was, even just with the Yankees when Phil Hughes was called up. I'll never forget it. They did a whole special. The night before, they already knew it because, yes, and the Yankees talk quite a bit, obviously. And Phil Hughes, his start against whoever in Double A is back. It was the Trenton Thunder at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they aired his start on Yes because they knew his last start, not the night before.
This is Phil Hughes.
Phil Hughes. He dominated. He was called up the next five or six games or whatever. He gets called up. They aired that on Yes for a reason. They didn't air another Double A game on Yes. They aired that one in particular because that was the last time Phil Hughes was going to pitch for Double A. Trenton, he got called up, and that was a big moment. Everyone's like, oh, my God, Phil Hughes, right? Robinson Cano had, you know, another thing. You know, like I said, they always do that, like, praise God when they call up guys, like almost like there needs to be a ceremony. But that's the thing is when you see those guys, even if it happens once or twice, it makes you think, oh, wow, you know, this could be huge. The reality of it is that I'm guilty of it and you're guilty of it. We've sat here and we've talked about guys like maybe Arias someday could come up and he could be a third base option. But the reality of it, as we just went through from 2011 to 2024, is that there's only been one superstar in Aaron Judge. There's been some really good contributors and guys like Severino and Heal. And they're just basically the point to wrap this up is that the trade deadline essentially is right around the corner. They're going to trade some of these guys, whether you like it or not. They're going to trade some of the top 30.
Most of them won't mean a thing.
And based on that track record, whoever ends up being the guy that got away, well, there's only been legitimately one since 2011 who got away. And that still remains to be seen with Drew Thorpe. And you can't even say he got away because they traded him away and they got Juan Soto. If that's what it meant to get Juan Soto, who's a generational talent.
So we've never had a player get away, not once, really.
Really, no. And so, you know, that long, I mean, I don't give credit to Cashman in that regard. I think it actually kind of stems to a bigger issue in the Yankees farm system that there's no guys getting away. And at some point, you'd have to imagine teams are going to catch on to the Yankees. And maybe actually the whole thing, Gary, is that we've always looked at this the wrong way. I want people to ponder this as we wrap this show, finally. This is like the longest episode ever.
This episode is going to take 10 years to upload to YouTube.
It's going to be 40 gigabytes. Anyway.
We'll have a whole new set of prospects that have failed and been drafted and failed again by the time this loads.
You ready for me to drop this?
Yes.
Okay. What if the whole idea of the Yankee tax is all bullshit? And the reality is that every team is seeing what we just went through. They've always seen this. And they've just caught on to the pattern. The Yankees can't develop talent the way other teams around baseball can.
Jake, who are we
kidding? That's the Yankees tax. It's not that they charge more. It's that they simply just don't have a track record of development. And the Yankees are sitting there like, we developed Aaron Judge. It's like
that's all they do. That's all they do. They're like, well, hold on a second. We got this guy. He's a superstar. Who else you got? We got Gleyber Torres. You didn't develop him.
Now, I will say there is a reason to be somewhat optimistic because they did change. Remember, they did change like from top to bottom their organizational thing. Remember, it was like last year, 2 years ago. Okay. They recognized they had issues in the farm system and they made a bunch of major changes. So that stuff can, you know, kind of figure itself out over time, but that's not like, oh crap, you can't trade anybody. I'm pretty open to trading the farm system, including Spencer Jones, which I never thought I'd say. I love Spencer Jones. And I hope he ends up being the left-handed Aaron Judge. And I hope he's in the outfield with Juan Soto and he gets to play with Aaron Judge. The one guy I will say is absolutely untradeable out of all the prospects, because he's not a prospect in my opinion, is Jason Dominguez. I would not trade him, period. Not knowing that he is the third best hitter in the organization, not knowing that he's right around the corner. I'm willing to give him a pass for the injury because he's right around the corner.
Given what our roster looks like, the Yankees can't trade Jason Dominguez. If the Yankees had a better roster, and we were looking at like Freddie Freeman at first base, and you had guys, because remember, the Yankees just decided that they weren't going to go spend on Freddie Freeman. That happened, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious in itself. But having said
they absolutely did.
They did. Freeman became a free agent, and the Yankees were like, we're good.
Well, and then there was the other guy, too, the guy who replaced Freddie Freeman, who they had a chance to trade for, Olsen. Remember the big... Yeah. Remember the big joke was that the Yankees only go after the overrated bad guys from the A's. They don't actually trade for the ones that are good.
Yeah, we're fools. Everybody knew Matt Olson ended up being. We didn't do it.
Yeah, went with Rizzo.
Thankfully, there are smart organizations out there like the Braves, and they reap the rewards. They consistently do that. So, I will say, Jake. Well, let's wrap with this. The Yankees.
Let's wrap.
Don't draft stars. They don't. Volpe's not a star yet.
No.
Maybe he never will be. more than likely, the only person in the organization who has really an opportunity to be a star is Jason Dominguez. Spencer Jones, more than likely, not saying it's just a foregone conclusion, more than likely, will just be a big leaguer. And that's still good. But does it mean that you should stay with the organization? Not at all. I think that the Yankees should be looking at literally everybody, and dependent on what you're bringing in, every single person should be available based on their track record, which is atrocious.
Yeah. And remember they said, like, well, you said they like only develop pitching.
It's all it is. If they're not sending you a pitcher, you should just laugh at the Yankees at this point. I would tell them, if you don't send me Dominguez, don't even call me about Jones. I don't care about him.
After looking at that from 2011 on, maybe they don't actually have a plan to trade all their pitching, and they weren't actually loading up in the draft to trade pitching. They actually loaded up in the draft because it's all they feel confident in developing.
Yeah, there you go.
So who knows? But longest episode ever, maybe. I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that. But hope you guys enjoyed this fat-ass episode. I mean, we didn't get to record yesterday. I was at a Foo Fighters show. Gary waited and waited. I was driving from Hershey, Pennsylvania to upstate New York. So we weren't going to be able to record until like 5 a.m. But we did get a show out. We ended up just, I guess, giving you guys the whole meat and potatoes worth. This is like combining two episodes into one. The first part is saying Boone needs to get fired, and the second part is ranting about their front office and talking about the trade with Mason Miller and Rooker. And we'll see what happens at the deadline. Got plenty of stuff, on deck. So, we're looking forward to that. Hopefully the Yankees don't get injured or anything happens bad on the off day.
Let's hope Brian Cashman unzips his sleeping bag this year and actually does a damn thing.
I'm not going to lie. The off day after this showing against the Mets, this would be a fitting time to make a big move. And I'll also remind people that they traded for Benintendi the day after the Mets beat them. So who knows? I don't know. Trust me, I'm not at all plugged in with what they're doing right now. But we can hope. I think Gary and I and everyone watching is in the same boat. They need to go out and get some help. But that's going to do it. So please, first off, you deserve a freaking medal if you've gotten through the full podcast. Not saying what we're saying isn't important or interesting, but...
But an hour and 42 is a long time. I mean, you can go see Deadpool, which comes out literally this week, in an hour and 45. So, yeah.
They'll probably be watching this when I'm in the theater watching Deadpool. So
this is true.
That's that. But appreciate you guys. Be sure to hit that like button. Subscribe if you haven't already. And follow us on our socials below. And also drop a comment. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
And like this video.